In Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, I told you this morning what I was going to be preaching about tonight. What are you thinking about? What are you thinking about? I don't know if this is going to be a real long message. Y'all can say amen right there. it was something that was really laid on my heart. And I thought, well, I'd, you know, try to get a message together. And sometimes they're long and sometimes they're not so long. But we'll see how this goes. Philippians 4:8, the Bible says this. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for those that are here tonight in our singing, our fellowship time together. Lord, we thank you for the church. Lord, I pray that you meet with us here tonight. I pray we're aware of your presence. Lord, speak to each and every heart now. And I thank you for what you've done for us, Lord, for dying for us, sending your son to die for us, and paying for our sins. And we ask it all and thank you for it all. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. I was listening. Part of this is not original by any means. Maybe nothing I preach is, but I'm sure it's all been talked about or preached about before. But some of you might have heard this. The other day, I just got on the middle of it. I got in my truck, and I turned on the started the truck, and I was on the radio program. And I think it was Focus on the Family. I don't remember what day of the week it was. But there was a guy that was on there, and they were talking about this. And he was talking about, you know, what you think about, things you think about. And he was talking to a lady, a woman, or I think, and she had called in or something to that effect. I'm not sure how it went, but and was talking about the marriage, about her marriage. And he was pointing this one thing out. So, you know, everybody, we have positive and negative things about us. And I'll talk about that more in a minute. And he was talking about in this particular case that if all she thought about were the negative things about her spouse, and, you know, we can fill in the blank and flip it around, ladies, husbands thinking about their wives and wives thinking about her husband. If all she thought about was the negative things, then eventually you have a negative spouse. And then, of course, that leads to a negative marriage. And you have a negative marriage. That's, you know, that's all you dwell on. And, you know, of course, he started encouraging her. Said, well, you know, when you met this man, that there was some good qualities about him that you liked, something that you liked. That's why he said, you know, think about those things. Think about the good things. Dwell on them. I mean, you've got a choice to make what you're going to dwell on. And so I thought, well, I started thinking about it. I was walking around there in the woods the other day, and I just was, you know, I had that on my mind. And I started thinking about all the areas of life that you could apply this to. And here's the point. You know, we know this for a fact, that there's nobody's perfect except Jesus Christ, right? Is that right? I mean, there's nothing outside of Jesus Christ in this world that's perfect. Amen. Right? Everybody, we're on the same page. Okay. We don't have any perfect people. There's no perfect husbands. There's no perfect wives. There's no perfect job. There's no perfect church. There's no perfect pastor. No perfect church member. There's nothing perfect, right? We got all that. We got all that down on that, right? We with it. You with me here? Okay. And so we see there's nothing in this world that's perfect. So now, what are we going to think about all those things? You know, what are we going to dwell on if we already understand that in every person and everything and every job that there's good things, and then there's what we call bad or negative things, however you want to look at it. What are we going to think about all the time? You know, how we look at things. And so, because what happens is what we dwell on, then that thing or person ultimately in your mind becomes that. You know, either a negative and or a positive thing. And I started thinking about all the areas and for illustration, I talk about it. And a lot of you probably experienced this when I thought about jobs. And I remember, you know, in my experience with jobs, and I remember when Kyle, I think one time when he was about ready to go out into a good job or the workforce with a good job, I said, look here, this is the advice I gave him. I said, don't get caught up and those other people at work that start complaining about the job. You know, y'all been around places like that, right? And I remember being at work, and I'm happy as a lark. I'm doing my job. I don't have any beef. And then somebody comes up, and they start complaining about the boss. And they start complaining about the way they do things. And they start complaining about the pay. And they start complaining about the hours. And the next thing you know, I'm madder than that guy is about the company. You know, you get that way, right? But I wasn't thinking about those things before. Instead of start saying, I remember the last secular job I had before I took this job, I liked my job. You know, hey, there was days, sure. There was days. And there was those moments that, weren't great. But overall, I kind of liked it. Man, I had my own little cubby hole. Nobody messed with me. I did what I was supposed to do. And those guys, there was guys in there, they came every day because they paid good. And they fussed and moaned and groaned about the job all the time. And they was always scowling and hating life. And I'm thinking, hey, man, I like it. Going in earlier. They asked us if we'd like to start working at 6 and get off at 2:30. I said, yeah, man, we got it. I mean, I like, you know, there was a lot of things to like about it. And so, you know, how that can work in a job situation, it's just, what are you dwelling on? The things, it's not a perfect company. It's not a perfect job, but there are good things about it. So what do you want to think about? The good things about the company, or you want to dwell on the bad things? I'm going to tell you, if you dwell on the bad things all the time, you'll end up getting yourself in trouble or quitting a pretty good job. You know, and you think there's something going to be better. Listen, a job's a job. You know, maybe you're in the attitude that maybe none of them are all that great. But listen, it's just how you have to look at it. But if you start thinking about, hey, I've got pay, I've got benefits, I'm putting food on the table, I'm able to, you know, and I've got a job in a time when not everybody's got a job. You know, you know, it's just, and you know, your whole demeanor just changes. Everything suddenly, you know, you could have the same job. And just depending on what things you choose to think about will affect you so much, in that job. When you think about marriages, you know, you get around men sometime, and I know ladies do this too. They start complaining about their spouses. You know, boy, my husband, or the guy's getting my wife, boy, all she does is nag, 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 nag. You know, and the wife's saying, I'm nag, nag, nagging because you're never doing this. And after a while, you know what? If you start thinking about the negative things, it's all you think about, how it's not so perfect, you're going to have a sour disposition most of the time. And so then when you finally see that person, that object of your negative thoughts all day long, you're not going to be happy. You know, you're not going to be happy. And so, but you know, there had to be, when you start dating somebody, oh boy, you know, love is blind, as they say, right? Terry's looking at Lester. Don't think negatively there. when you start to date somebody, boy, everything's new and it's exciting. Oh, I just love their blue eyes and their hair and everything. Everything's just all happy. And there may be negative things that exist, but we have the ability to push them to the side. And not focus on those because we're focusing on the good things. You know, the Bible says this. The Bible says that love covers a multitude of sin. And that means that it overlooks it. It overlooks it. But what happens 10 years down the road? 10 years down the road, then all of a sudden, instead of focusing on all the good qualities about the person that you married, you're focusing on the negative qualities or the negative things. Did always exist. They always existed because we already discovered, right? Nobody's perfect. You start focusing on the negative things. And suddenly, your marriage is not good in your mind. It's not good because that's all you've thought about is those negative things. And now you think you have a sorry marriage because you focused on the imperfect parts of that marriage. When we look at churches, you know, a lot of times, boy, people come to church. Man, everything's hunky-dory. It happens in all churches. I've had people come here. Oh, we just love it. They've been going 6-8 months. We just love it. Oh, we just love that church. And they go to church 10, 15 years down the road, suddenly, and nothing's changed. They got the same pastor. He's pretty much doing things the way they've always been done. Nothing's, you know, dramatically changed along the way. But all of a sudden, the preacher preaches too long. I don't like the way he does things. I don't like the way he runs the church. I don't like the people in the church. I don't like this about the church. I don't like that about the church. And then usually what happens in churches is the same thing that happens in jobs. You start jawing to somebody else. And suddenly, not only you're not happy with it, you get somebody else not to be happy with it. Because see, if somebody comes up to you and they say, boy, you know, any job, any marriage, any church, it doesn't matter, you put fill in the blank. And they say, oh, you know, this is the negative thing about the church, this is the negative thing about the job, negative. So
when you go away from that person, what are you thinking about? You go home at night, you're eating supper, what are you thinking about?
The negative things that have been said. What are you thinking about when you lay down in bed? You know, unless you're sharp enough to flip the switch and start saying, but you know, there's good things. And so you're thinking about those negative things, and suddenly, you know, something happened, and now all of a sudden, there's a problem that exists in all these areas of life. And you know, the imperfections always existed. They were always there because we already know that nobody's perfect. The imperfections in your spouse was always there. The imperfections in your marriage were always there. The imperfections in your job were always there. The imperfections in your church were always there. But now your attitude's all different. And the reason is because it's what you chose to think on all the time. You know, so as you think, so as you go, there's a saying that something, that runs something along that line. And so, see, what happens is wrong thinking. Because the Bible there, listen, it doesn't say that imperfection doesn't exist, and it doesn't say that there's not wrong that doesn't exist. But look what our text said. It's talking about this. Think about things that are true. There may be some things that are false. But it didn't say think about them. It said think about the true. It said whatsoever things are honest. There might be some things that are dishonest, but think about the honest. Whatsoever things are just. Hey, listen, life is unjust. It's not just. There's injustice in life. There's injustice at jobs. There's injustice in every area, a church, job, family life, marriage. There's injustice that goes on, but he didn't say think about injustice. He said think about just. But what's just? Whatsoever things are lovely, the good things. You know, think about those things. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says this, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And I was thinking about the first part of that, bringing into captivity every thought. You know, we know that, and you could use this text, and I know it applies as well. You know, impure things. It's just like thinking about sin. The Bible, you know, teaches this in other areas, and not to think about sin. If you dwell on sin long enough, you know, then it's going to lead to, just thinking about sin will lead to an action that'll be a sinful thing. And so, controlling our thought life. What are we thinking about? What are we thinking about? And boy, it so affects attitude and that ends up affecting action as well. And so the Apostle Paul, he told us these things. He said, listen, this is what we're going to think about. He said, point number one, he said, whatsoever things are true. So whatever's true, he said, think about that. Why not think about the good things? Dr. Walter Kavert reported a survey on worry that indicated that only 8% of the things that people worry about were legitimate matters of concern. Only 8% of what people worry about were legitimate matters of concern. The other 92% were either imaginary, never happened, or involved matters over which the people had no control anyway. The Bible talks a lot about worrying, doesn't it? I tell you what, man. Listen, Baptists are the biggest worry warts there ever was. I mean, we worry about everything, man. I mean, we worry all the time. I've worried. I'll tell you, I've laid awake at night in bed worrying about things. What I thought might happen and didn't happen. Lost all that sleep for nothing. And we've all probably done that. Listen, Satan is a liar. Amen. Satan is a liar. And he wants to corrupt our mind with lies. He can't corrupt your mind with the truth. It's an impossibility. He cannot corrupt your mind with the truth. He can only corrupt your mind with lies. And that's what Satan wants to do. He wants to corrupt your mind. And the Holy Spirit controls the mind through truth. And so, you know, what are you going to listen to? What are you thinking about?
What are you thinking about? Thinking about, you know, good things. You know, it's like, I said to use the illustration about you buy a new car. Man, you love that thing when you buy it, don't you? Huh? 5 years down the road, you hate it. Same car, right? I hate that car I'm driving because, you know, different things start to go wrong with it. You don't think about the good things any longer. It fits in everything. And now listen to this. Holy Spirit controls the mind through truth. The devil tries to control and does many times control the mind through lies. And whenever we believe a lie, Satan takes over. Amen. Whenever you believe a lie, Satan has took over. So he said, think about, this is what you think about, whatever's true. I'm not saying there may be things that are not true, but just think about the things that are true, that you know to be true. The second thing he said, whatsoever thing is honest and just. It means worthy of respect and right. You know, there's a lot of things in this world that's not respectable. There's a lot of not respectable things. I'll tell you what, your mind, you'd have to about be an ostrich in the world we live in today. You're going to see some bad, you're going to see negative things. You're going to see things you shouldn't see. You can't watch TV. And when they advertise, I don't care what kind of show you're watching on television, when the advertisement comes on, you're going to see something you probably don't need to be looking at. Men and women. Men and women. You're going to see something. And you maybe you can't help it. I don't know whether what you do every time a commercial comes on, running in the other room. I don't know what you're going to do. Half the time, I'm just in a daze anyway when a commercial comes on. But, you know, you don't have to think about it. You don't have to think about it. The things that are honest and just, respectable things. There are things that are, you know, that we can't avoid, as I said, but it has to do with focus. And then let them control our thought life. There's so many things out there today, and people get into sin because of what they let control their mind. The pornography business, and you know, people will just say, "Well, it's just an innocent little thing. I'm looking on the internet, or I'm in my own home, or watching something on TV, but it's not going to affect me. Nobody knows about it." Hey, you keep watching that stuff for long, you're going to be in an affair somewhere along the road. My wife and I, since you don't know the person much, but we knew about a pastor. We found out about it here recently that was in another state that had a big, big, big ministry. We heard him preach. 22,000 church members. 22,000. They had three satellite churches. They had a main church, and they had to have three satellite churches. Matter of fact, we went to a satellite church and had to watch him on a big screen over at the other church. They couldn't get everybody in there. Some immorality took place. You know, an affair. We don't know how it started, but somehow, somewhere along the line, his thought life got corrupted somehow. You know, you got your thoughts. Because, see, all you got to do when something like that pops in your mind, all you got to do is get your thought on something else. Get your thought. My pastor used to tell us when he preached, he says, listen, sometimes you can't help what pops in there, but it don't have to stay. Huh? And everybody always tells me everything I tell you goes in one ear and out the other anyway. It goes in one ear and out the other. But I'll tell you what, don't go in one ear and out the other. It's the stuff you probably don't need to think about. That's the stuff that gets in there and stays in there. And so, you know, we don't have to let things control our thoughts. Think about what's honest, what's just. And then he said, and third thing, he said, what's that? Whatever's pure and lovely and of a good report. Pure, once again, moral purity. Listen, we always think, and I think, listen, temptations, it's easier to be tempted today. Everybody's got these phones, man, these phones you can do, you know, you can go to places you shouldn't go and see things you shouldn't see. We got internet, we got stuff on, you know, I've said over and over, when I was a kid coming up, we had three channels and they went off the air at 12 o'clock. You had test pattern. You wake up, fall asleep on the couch, and it was black and white, fuzzy, and making that noise. Drive you crazy, right? Get up at the morning, 6 o'clock. This is the beginning of another broadcast day. And then they would do the Pledge of Allegiance and even say something about our daily bread on my television station down in Virginia Beach. But let me say something about temptation. All the temptations have always existed, and even in an immoral way. You know, there's, you know, the oldest profession, you know, we've heard about what that is. It's always been there. And I think it's easier to get messed up today, but in those days or in any age when anybody put their mind, if their mind is corrupted and they always thought about doing something wrong, they could find a way to get it done. You know, if that's what they thought about all the time. And it said, whatsoever things are pure, lovely, and of a good report. Lovely means attractive. Back to you know, everybody that got married. Listen, there's probably, we already know that nothing's perfect, right? So there's nobody that's married here that's got a perfect marriage.
Amen.
I was waiting on the amens right there. Nobody's got a perfect marriage. But there was something lovely about the person that you married, I would think, unless your mind was totally messed up, and I know you're questioning yourself here. There was something lovely about your spouse when you married them, right? Otherwise, you know, you didn't start dating, you didn't start, and I have had people say, no, preacher, I was totally out of my mind when I was looking at a book for a study the other day, my wife and I was looking at it, and the name of the title of the book was Be Committed. I said, yeah, I feel like I need to be committed, man, about half the time. there's something lovely. Why can't we think about those things? Huh? Why can't we think about those things? And you know, we're all, I think this is a thing, listen, that it's prone for us to do. It's so easy. It's like your character and your reputation. And we talked about this in the ministry, and your testimony. It takes years to build it up. But buddy, when you lose it, it's gone in a heartbeat, and it you may never get it back. You know, in the Bible, when we name Rahab, what else do we tag on the back of Rahab? And she wasn't a harlot after she got saved, but it's Rahab the harlot. Simon the leper. He was a leper, buddy. Even though leprosy had been cured, they kept calling him Simon the leper. See what happens? You get a tag on there. You get a tag because what it is, it's human nature to dwell on the negative things. Well, there's so-and-so over there. Yeah, but I'm going to tell you about that person. Boy, they're like, this is what they do. It's because they want to talk about the negative thing. That's why who gossips about good? Huh? Anybody ever just call you up? Boy, I just want to tell you about so-and-so. You just can't believe what they did. They're just the greatest person. Boy, they did. Nah. Gossip is, did you hear about so-and-so? You can't believe what I found out they did. And I heard it from so-and-so to heard it from so-and-so. And she said somebody else told her. Huh? What? Gossip, man. We want to talk about bad stuff. Give me the dirt. And then what did we say? I want to know about the dirt. Let's get the dirt. Come here, I got something to tell you. And we're all excited. Huh? What is it? It's human nature. It's human nature. But see, that's why Paul said, listen, if we automatically naturally just thought on things are true and things that are honest and whatsoever things. If we always did that, Paul wouldn't have had to tell us to do it. It would just naturally come. But he said, listen, this is what I want you to do. And you know, we've all done it. I can do it as good as anybody. We just think about the negative things. Think about the negative. He said, listen, I got a command for you. This is what you need to do. He said, you need to think about the positive things. And it affects so many things in life. So somewhere in a person, in your job. Listen, why did you take the stupid job in the first place if you're going to sit around complaining about it all day? Huh? You had to like the job, even if it's just the money. You get that paycheck on Friday or whenever they pay you, right? There's got to be something lovely about it. Your church. It never ceases to amaze me when, like I say, that people that come and say, boy, we just love it, nothing changes, and all of a sudden they hate it. They hate everything about it. Well, we don't like the way you run the church, preacher. I'm running like I ran it when you got here. What's the problem now? You know, I mean, I would think I'm a better pastor today than I was when I started. Can I get an amen there? Thank you very much. Somebody say no. I know I'm not perfect. I mean, just missed it by that far, but I know that. Whatever attracted you to the person, to the job, to the church, to whatever it is, whatever thing it is, think on that. Amen. Think on that. And then it says, of a good report. Think on whatever's a good report. You know, there's some things that are just not worth talking about. It's not worth talking about it. And sometimes, you know, I think sometimes we're guilty when somebody says, let me tell you about it. Sometimes we just need to say, nah, I don't need to hear that. I don't want to know. I don't need to hear about it. Let's just think about the good, you know. Let's think about it. We don't. If it doesn't really affect you, You probably don't need to hear about it. So we need to talk about what's a good report.
Amen.
You know, well, so-and-so, they did this, and it was just terrible, terrible. Well, let me tell you, what did they do good? Well, you know, and then you start, your mindset changes. You know, you start thinking about the good things. There's got to be something good, something worth talking about. You know, we need to major on noble thoughts, not the base thoughts of a corrupt world. That's the trouble with the world we live in. It gets us thinking, it tries to, and this is what Satan wants to do. It gets us thinking like everybody else out there. I'm going to tell you what, if you're thinking like everybody else out there, you've got a big problem. Huh? As you start thinking like the world, you are having a problem. You know, we need to think on spiritual things. I'll tell you, the last person, listen, I'm going to tell you something about your marriage. Don't go out to your coworkers and get your marriage advice. Don't get marriage advice from them. Get marriage advice right here from the Word of God. And so many people, man, they get there and some guy be fighting to keep his wife and you know, he wants to try to work it all out. And the guys at work are saying, ah, man, if I was you, I'd just get rid of her, man. I wouldn't take that stuff. The guy's probably the most henpecked guy in the whole company. I wouldn't take none of that. Boy, I tell you what, I'd tell her to pack her stuff and get on that. And then the guy goes home all fired up, get you stuff. And then he's standing around thinking, what have I done? You know, don't take marriage advice from somebody at work. You know, a good report. And then he says, whatsoever possesses virtue and praise. You know, virtue is something that motivates us to do better. And then praise is worth commending to others. You know, maybe we don't praise as much as we could. Maybe we should get, you know, think about things that are praiseworthy is what he's probably saying there. You know, think about things that are praiseworthy. What are the good things? What are the beneficial things? You know, we can't afford to waste our thoughts on things that tear us and other people down. We can't afford to waste our time on those. You know, the real simple old adage, I guess you call it, is the glass half empty or half full? Depends on how you look at it. It depends on how you look at it. I like to watch sports. And it's funny how you listen to the commentators as they commentate on a game. You know, that's why they're commentators, right? But they commentate on the game, and you watch a basketball game, and I flip the TV on, and I see that my team is up by 10 points. And you're thinking, wow, because you didn't know what the score was. And you're excited. But then I listen to the commentators talk, and they're really talking them kind of down because they were up by 20. But the other team has just come back to the point where they're only down 10. And see, all of their comments, it's like, so then all of a sudden you're thinking is, oh, wow, man, they're only up 10. But if they had been down 10 in the first half, and then now they're up by 10, you're like, yeah, okay, well, you know, boy, that's good. Man, they're doing good. But when they were up 20 and now they drop back, but you know what? They're still up by 10. And they won, by the way. But, you know, it's just how do you look at it? How do you look at it? You know, it's whether the glass is half full or half empty. If you didn't have anything in the glass and it got to be half full, you think, wow, this is great. But if it had been full and now you're down to half empty, you think, but you know what? It's the same. It's at the same level. It's at the same place. But your attitude can be totally changed by how you perceive, is it what I got or what I lost? Right? That's just, so your mind is changed by that thought process, but you got the same amount. it has to do with what are you thinking about? What are you thinking about? Man, our mind. And you think about, you know, we talk about God in creation. And, you know, there's amazing things. I mean, we look outside and, you know, we see the beautiful sunset, stars, mountains, all the things you look at there. Then you look at the body. We talk about the human body a lot. You know, the cells get replaced every 7 years, and they can't explain aging because your cells are only 7 years old, yet we get old. And, you know, we got a heartbeat, and air goes in your lungs, and it goes to the bloodstream, and that goes around. And, you know, and that's an amazing thing. But think about the mind. Think about our minds. You know, we talk about these computers that do so many functions in such a millisecond thing. Now, I know our minds don't work as fast as they used to, maybe, but you think about the mind, how that you can look at something visually and it goes into your mind and it creates, just think about what thought is as you think.
You know, you just think it and you reason. The animals don't do it. They're working on instincts. But we reason things. Wrongly sometimes, but never. The mind is an unbelievable thing in how just with our thoughts that we can change our whole appearance, our mood, whether we're happy, sad, concerned. We can do anything. You know, our mind can, you know, you can go out of your mind. People can dwell on things to the point that they literally have a nervous breakdown. Physically, they can dwell on things to the point where they lose their mind because of things that they've thought about. He said, look here, this is the things that you need to think about. This is the name, the main things. And I'm going to read to you in Psalm 19, 7 through 9. It says this, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Notice how this kind of goes along with what Paul told us to think about. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Boy, there's a companion verse to what we just read. We saw the words pure and true and righteous or right, those things. And so we see all that there. It's a description of what the Word of God is and does. And he said, listen, you know, think about these things. Think about these things. And so it tells me that we have a choice. You have a choice on how you look at everything in life. How, you know, whether you want to focus on negative or positive, it's a choice. And Paul says, listen, focus on the positive. Focus on the positive. Keep looking at those things. If we fill our mind, our heart and mind with the Word of God, we're going to have a built-in radar for detecting wrong thoughts. Huh? Wrong thoughts. Have you ever been convicted about thinking about the wrong thing? You get convicted about that. We should. And, you know, as we look at the Word of God, we should do that. Listen, nobody or nothing is perfect, but there are things to praise. And then if you study that a little farther, you'll find out this, that right thoughts produce peace. If you think on the things that Paul said to think about, it produces peace. Amen. Amen. That's all I have for you tonight. Let's